This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Something else to add? Created from light? The angels are created from light. Okay? Okay, no, we're done with the angels, mashallah. Fire, yes. So they're created from fire. A smokeless fire. Okay? Does anyone know which part of the flame we're talking about? The invisible part? MashaAllah. So some of the scholars try to explain which part of the fire, which type of flame it is. Is it the tip of the flame, as in the very top of it, or the bottom of it where there's no color? That is totally, you know, irrelevant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us they're created from a smokeless flame of fire, right? Now they're a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the word jinn itself comes from the root word, and we see that the word ijtinan, right? Ijtinan, which means to not be seen, to hide itself, to not be visible. And so we also see, for example, the word janin, which is a fetus, right? The fetus, the baby, when it's forming inside of the mother, also comes from the same root word. It's something that is not seen. It's there. It's unseen, but it's there, right? So the jinn themselves are not seen by us as human beings. But we'll, you know, I wanted to finish with that today, but we'll finish with it tomorrow, inshaAllah ta'ala, how some of the creation of Allah can actually see the jinn. Now the jinn have certain characteristics. For example, they have a tongue and they can speak, right? A few other things with regards to the jinn is that they have a heart, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. They have a heart, they can speak, they have ears, they have eyes, they have a voice, they have a tongue, they can eat, they can drink, they can laugh. And they were created before us. So as human beings, we came as a creation after the jinn. Some of the scholars tried to figure out when this was based on some of the, traditions and stories, possibly from different religions as well. Some have mentioned up to 2,000 years before the creation of human beings is when the jinn were created. But that doesn't really matter. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, based on the verses, we see that the jinn were created before human beings and they were around before the creation of Adam alayhi salam. Right? Now moving on into jinns, right? We're not going to touch upon anything in particular, anything specific with regards to them. But the jinn can see, they can speak, they have a voice. Has anyone ever heard the voice of a jinn before? Yeah? Okay. What did it sound like? Anyone hear something different?
I haven't heard a jinn, but I've heard a person who was possessed by.
Okay, so you heard the voice or sound of a person who was possessed by a jinn, and the sound of that jinn speaking, possibly?
Yeah.
Okay, and what was it? The actual voice of the person?
Like, the one that I heard was like very high pitched.
Very high pitched, mashallah.
Hitting high notes.
Hitting high notes. The next Britney Spears? No. Right? Okay, so a woman who was possessed by a jinn, but when she was speaking, her voice was extremely deep, deeper than a man's voice. As deep as a man's voice. Good, alhamdulillah. Anyone else?
The voice in your head that tells you to do bad.
The voice in your head that tells you to do bad. It's very alive, eh? It's right there. It's always telling me something. MashaAllah. So, jinn can speak, right? And they can communicate. And we see how, subhanAllah, through the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they actually did communicate with the Prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, before we get into that story, with regards to the surah, I just want to mention the different types of jinn, because one of the youth asked yesterday about the ifrit, right? Is it you? Good. So there's different types of jinns, right? Or different categories of jinn, different levels of jinn. To begin with, in general, a jinn is known as A jinn, right? So a jinn is known as a jinn. That is the general term that's used with regards to a jinn. So a typical jinn that we think of, forget about being bad, being good, being strong, being weak. A jinn is a jinn, right? That's the first category. The second one is a jinn who lives with people. And this is known as an amir, right? Someone who lives with people. Now you might notice that in some people's houses they have a jinn. Right? You go to their place and you're seeing some weird things happening. You're thinking, you know what, something just doesn't feel right in this place. Kind of like the typical haunted house movie, right? That we normally would see. What? Yeah, some of those things are reality, okay? That you'll hear things, see things moving, and so on and so forth, right? And so that is the second category, right? The amir. The third category is the jinn who attach themselves to children, right? They spend time around children, and they're known as the arwah. Arwah is plural for ruh, right? Soul. So they're known as arwah. The fourth category is the evil jinn who tries to cause harm. What is this known as? Iblis. Close. Shaitan. Okay? The evil jinn who tries to cause harm, this is known as Shaitan. Okay? And we know that Shaitan, Iblis himself, he has helpers or workers that work with him. Innahu yarakum innahu yarakum huwa wa qabiluhu min haythu la tarawnahum. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, that he and his helpers, his workers, see you min haythu la tarawnahum, in ways that you don't even see them. Right? So they can see us. There might even be jinns that are watching us right now. There might be jinn that are amongst us right now. Right? That doesn't mean they're bad jinns. They could be good jinns. They came to attend the halaqa. Right? They might come to your classes because they want to learn something. Right? They're a different creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are real. Some of the other religions, some of the other people out there in the world might think that these are aliens from other countries, or other planets I should say. Right? Not other countries, other planets. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. However, when we look at the creation of the jinn, we see that it's not only Muslims that believe in jinn as being a creation of Allah. Other religions, especially the major religions like Judaism and Christianity, they also believe in the jinn being a creation of God, and that they're beings that are out there, and that they're real. And just the other day, subhanAllah, I was in Dallas, right, on my way to the airport to go to Seattle. And as we're entering the airport grounds, on the right side, we saw this, it looked like a sister wearing a black abaya, completely from head to toe, but a white niqab. Right? A pitch white niqab. From a distance we saw it and we were like, oh wow, that's weird. Like in the middle of nowhere, as we approach the airport, this really tall sister is wearing a completely black abaya with a dark black and extremely white niqab. And as we got closer, we realized it was actually an Orthodox exorcist. Right? It wasn't a niqab, it was his beard. It was a really long white beard. Right? It was a really long white beard, but from a distance, it looked like a sister wearing a niqab. Right? And subhanAllah, as we got closer, we realized it was this man with long black hair, but his beard was really white. It was really, really strange. And he had this hat on his head, and he had this big cross, and that cross is a typically known cross. The style of it is known as the cross that they use for exorcism, right? So other religions actually do this, and they try to remove the evil spirits, but this is done in a way that is not in accordance to the Sharia. Now the fifth type of jinn, one that is worse than the shaitan, is known as marid. And this is a rebellious jinn, marid, okay? A type of jinn that is rebellious, that is worse than just the shaitan that, whispers to you and tries to get you to do something wrong. This is the one that might bother you, might irritate you, might, go into you, possess you, and try to get you to do things or say things that are no good. And then there's one that's even worse than that, or stronger than it, right? And that is the ifrit. Okay? And that is the strong. longer one, that is the ifrit. Now we'll conclude with two more things inshaAllah ta'ala, or one more thing. The last thing that I wanted to point out is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Qur'an a lot about the jinn, to the extent that He highlights an entire surah related to the jinn. Right? Suratul Jinn. قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا. There were a group of jinn that came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this group of jinn, they came and they communicate with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can go and read the surah, right? But the aspect that I want to highlight is the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not only sent as mercy to all of mankind and all of alameen, the world and everything that it contains, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to deliver the message to the human beings as well as the jinn. And we see how he had respect for them in terms of teaching them the deen. And that's the jinn. We said previously in the past few halaqas, in past few sessions, that we as human beings are of the best creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We were given choice, we were given reason, we were given a brain that we can think and comprehend and understand, right? And subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is paying such close attention to spreading the message of Islam and to spreading the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to other creations of Allah. Then we as human beings and as Muslims, as believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as mu'mineen, we should be spreading this message to everyone, including our own Muslim brothers and sisters. Now sometimes we see people, right, who we might make fun of. Right? But that's not how we're supposed to behave. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends something or someone who is highlighting an aspect of life. So for example, last night I went to meet with this one brother, right? A brother who has some mental issues because of very high dosages of drugs that he took in the past. And now subhanAllah, sometimes he goes through extreme anxiety attacks. To the extent that he says, you know what, I just want to end this. The first thing he said to me last night is, I'm tired. I just want this to be over. What does that mean? That means they just want their life to be over. Or they just want all of this to go away and to be normal. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends these people to us and gives them these sort of illnesses for us to understand that they're a sign of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A sign for you and I to realize they might be going through a difficult moment in their life. They might be struggling. They might be going through a hardship that we don't experience. And that's not a laughing matter. When I left last night, I messaged my wife and she's like, how's everything, you know, because I told her I'm going to go do, you know, some counseling. And I said, subhanAllah, I actually feel like crying. She's like, why do you feel like crying? Something happened. I said, you know, we complain about all the things that we have in life. And then we see other people who all they want to do is to escape from their body. They feel as though being inside of them is so hard for them, they just want to escape. They just want some freedom. They want to be like you and I. They want to just be, alhamdulillah, ease, where we can come, we can sit down, we can do what we want, we can laugh, we can joke, we can have fun. But they themselves don't feel that. And subhanAllah, we notice that there are people from amongst us who sometimes when we see them, we might think of them as, wow, this is strange, right? Look at this person. And we start pointing fingers at them, we start laughing at them. You'll notice how if you go on the internet, a lot of people will record videos and take pictures and post it up online, right? And say, haha, look at this person, right? And subhanAllah, this is absolutely against our deen, to make fun of other people. The method of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to carry the message to other people, and those that are ill, those that are sick, they have a right upon us that we're supposed to go and visit them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took this to the extent that even when communicating with the jinn, he would make sure that he was trying to bring them into Islam. He was trying to convince them to be like you and I, believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who help each other. And especially when we see someone who believes in Allah, we're supposed to help them. And it's a right that they have upon us that we go and visit them, that we go and we help them, that we take our time out from our day and we spend time with them. If we see someone has an illness, someone, you know, is going through a difficult moment in their life and we can't help them, we find someone else that can help them. So it's not a laughing matter. It's a serious issue. And it could also mean our Jannah when we help someone who's in need. Rather than pointing fingers and laughing and joking about it, we go and we help the person. That could be our door to Jannah. We should be people that are always looking for our way to get into paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us signs all the time. You probably heard me say it before. We should live our life kind of like, you know, that scene in The Matrix, the movie. All the ones and zeros, right? The ones and zeros, the binary code that are just dropping from the sky, the ones and zeros. That's how we should be recognizing the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness. That every single thing in front of us, every single thing that we see is a door to our Jannah. It's a way of us recognizing the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including what you're seeing right now. Like, I'm looking at all of you and I'm thinking, if I could simply deliver one verse of the Quran, one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that would change one person's life, or that might help someone to help another person, that could be my Jannah. Every single moment is a golden moment. It's a golden opportunity. And so when we see people who are in need, we see someone who's, you know, disabled, or someone who has some sort of issues, someone who might not be there fully mentally, right? It's not a laughing matter. It's a serious matter. And it's a matter that we should take in our own hands, that we go and we help others. And when we see others speaking about them or talking about them, we should just remind them nicely. You know, subhanAllah, the other day I posted on the internet, there's a book of about the prophetic methods of correcting people's mistakes. How many of us take the time to learn how to correct others? Or do we just jump on the boat and just start making fun of others? And that is so common on YouTube and Facebook, right? You open up YouTube or Facebook and you're scrolling on Facebook and you're just seeing videos and pranks and things of people making fun of one another, throwing pies in each other's face. Someone's coming down an escalator, you know, throwing pies in their face. Someone wakes up in the morning in their college dormitory and all of a sudden, as they get up, they realize that, I don't know, there was like a water balloon set over their heads and, you know, they tied like a paper clip to their head and they get up and they burst the balloon and they just become soaked with water. These are things that subhanAllah people do to have fun, but the reality is we're making someone else's life a little more difficult. We should be looking out for them. We should be helping one another. We can have fun in Islam. There's many ways to have fun. But having fun by disgracing others and then doing those things and putting it on the internet for others to laugh at, it's not the method of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, not by putting it on the internet, right? They're like, well, he didn't have the internet, right? So subhanAllah, we have to try and understand that, right? That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to all of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to help all of the creation, even when we see, for example, a spider. If you're scared and you're terrified of spiders, and this spider is crawling across the carpet in the masjid right now, let's say it's going through the rows of the sisters, right? All the sisters are looking around, right? And that spider is crawling around, and you're terrified of spiders, but you know the person who's sitting around you or someone is not scared of spiders, tell them, can you, you know, get rid of that, pick it up, do something, right? Take it and put it outside of the masjid, right? We have to look after the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how big it is or how small it is. So we're going to suffice with this, inshaAllah ta'ala. I had a lot more that I wanted to cover today in terms of the jinn, but we'll get into that as we move along, inshaAllah. So we'll stop here. If anyone has any questions,